Yes, I'm Frank Essex, and I taught at MTSU for 27 years in the political science department. I'm a native Arkansan, born in Arkansas County in 1928, and was born in a funeral home. My father was a funeral director, and I went through public schools in Arkansas County and graduated from high school in 1946. And the war ended, and so I did later serve in the Air Force during the Korean conflict. But I went to college 2 weeks after graduating from high school and came to Tennessee to Vanderbilt because I was at that time I had my sights set on going to medical school, and one of the MDs in Stuttgart, Arkansas, had graduated from Vanderbilt, and he talked with me about that, and so I enrolled in Vanderbilt, was a chemistry major, and had one political science course. Then there was even less requirement in what we call general studies for things outside your major and minor than exists today. And so there's very little exposure to social studies beyond that one political science course. And I'll interject here because it's an interesting story. The political science department chairperson that hired me was Norman Parks. And Norman was a fixture at MTSU for many years. He got his doctorate in 1954, I think, at Vanderbilt, and taught at Vanderbilt. And he was the person that I had the one political science course with when I was a freshman, American government. And then, of course, I'll get back to getting reacquainted with him. My dad, I had decided that I wanted to go to embalming school. My older brother had been in the Air Force during World War II, and he had gotten out and gone to embalming school in Indiana, where my dad went. And he was back home, and my dad had two funeral homes, one in DeWitt, one in Stuttgart, Arkansas, both in the same county. And so I talked with Dad about it, and he said, you know, it pleased him very much. And so I dropped out in my junior year from Vanderbilt and went to Indianapolis to embalming school and graduated from there, took the state board examination and passed it. And I was working with my dad at the funeral home in Stuttgart, and the older brother was basically managing and operating the funeral home in DeWitt. And the Korean War broke out in 1950, and I had been out of embalming school about a year, and I knew that it wouldn't be long until I would be drafted, so I made the decision to join the Air Force, which I did, and of course that was a 4-year commitment as opposed to being drafted would be could be less, and in most instances it was. But anyway, the Korean War waxed on, and I went through radar repairman school at Keesler Air Force Base at Biloxi, Mississippi, and later was assigned, and I found it real interesting, with the 118th Tactical Reconnaissance Wing, and that's the same, and it has the same number, but that's the same unit that has for years been the Tennessee National Guard, Air National Guard. And so many of those people over the last few years obviously have been deployed to Iraq and some to Afghanistan. But I did not get any overseas assignment. I ended my last 2 years at Langley Air Force Base in Virginia. And in 1953, I married my childhood sweetheart, Betty Whitman, and we went all through school together, graduated in the same class, and boyfriend and girlfriend from eighth grade on, and were both 24 when we were married, and our first son was born at Langley Air Force Base, and I got out in 1954, and we went back to Arkansas, and I was back with my dad again in the funeral business, and then he died at what all of this, me and my five, all six siblings are. All six children are still living, but all of us, when we passed 54, thought how young Daddy was. But at the time of his death, we thought he was a, kind of an old codger. But he had Hodgkin's disease, which, as everybody knows, since then they've made remarkable strides in. But at that time, there was nothing that could be done, and I really. I'm not a providential kind of person, so I'm not suggesting that I think it was directed by an omnipotent power or anybody else, but I was so glad that I did go back there, because I was there to be with my mother, and she had always helped my dad, which was the custom in that part of Arkansas. The women were very much involved. She helped him direct funerals, and even during the war drove the ambulance and all of those sorts of things. And we had three other children, all of whom were born in Stuttgart, two boys and two girls. And then it was about probably 1963 and 4. I had a real inclination. I never did discuss this with Betty, my wife. It was just a very personal, private thing that I would think about from time to time. Like Harold indicated, an interest in teaching at the higher education level. And the discipline that I was interested in was political science. And then in 1964, I'd talk with Betty about it. I thought about it when I got out of the Air Force, which would have been obviously 10 years prior, but I didn't. And as I said already, I'm glad that things went the way they did. And Betty was totally supportive, and we didn't talk beyond our private conversation with each other. Of course, the children were small, and I drove over by myself to Nashville, because I thought, well, I want to go back to Vanderbilt since I've got the number of hours that I do have. And of course, I liked the university, and it had then, as it does now, a real good, strong academic reputation. And I talked with a young man that was in charge of admissions, and he was really nice and cooperative, but he was extremely skeptical, because here I was, 35 years old with four kids. And he said, well, Frank, have you done any kind of testing, aptitude and otherwise, to see if, he said, I'm not questioning your intellectual capacity or anything, but some people have the aptitude for some things and not for others. And I said, no, but I know I want to do it, and I know I can. And so he didn't pursue. He said, okay. And he checked over all my records, and I went to the political science department and met several professors there, one of whom was a native Murfreesboro guy, Leaper Freeman. He's now dead, but he has first cousins. Ellis Rucker was a biology professor here, and he was Leaper's. Their mothers were sisters. And John Rucker, who has sons, both of whom are attorneys, and John was an attorney. But anyway, I visited and talked with them about it, and then drove back. And Betty was the only one that knew, where I'd gone and why. I can't remember now what kind of story I gave Mother at the time. But I then did all of the necessary work to get readmitted, and then went and talked with my mother about it. And both of my parents were extremely laid back persons. They led all six of us. I went to Washington as an example during the latter years of World War II as a congressional page, and I have thought about it, you know, what other parents would have let a 15-year-old little boy go off to wartime Washington, because we had, in those days, the pages had to find their own place to live. They now have dormitories, and they're really monitored. We were totally on our own. We had three kids in the fifth grade that were pages, and about six that were in the sixth grade. I was a sophomore, and there were 120 boys, obviously, in that day and time. No females, no African Americans, all white, Anglo Saxon males, and had obviously a wonderful experience. And many people have asked me, well, is that where you got your interest in political science? And I wouldn't want to say that it wasn't, but I don't really think in my mind of a real direct connection. But anyway, Mother accepted it. She really was, you know, I could tell that it was going to be tough for her, taking four of her grandkids away. And I was the only one of her six children that lived in DeWitt. The brother Jack was just 26 miles away in DeWitt. But she said, well, why are you doing this, Frank? And I said, well, I feel like I can make a greater contribution, maybe. And she said, well, you're making such a contribution here, because those of you, and all of us, have experienced deaths in our families, and I would assume that you had the experience that if the person that handled the situation was a dignified, proper, clean-nosed kind of person that had concern and interest, you really have a unique relationship with people, particularly in a small town. And my dad was revered, as were ministers and doctors, and I don't want to be less than modest, but I had the same kind of, you know, people were just shocked when they found out that Betty and the kids and I were going to leave. But so it was a wonderful profession. It was a great experience. But we moved in January of 1965, and I was, January, the spring semester of 65, the summer, the fall, and then the spring semester of 66, I took almost nothing but political science, because I had all my other requirements, and history, and I'd already had my 2 years of German. The foreign language requirement had been met, and all of the others, and I got a baccalaureate degree in June of 1966, or May, and started immediately in the summer session working on my master's. And I completed my master's in August of 67, and put out resume and all in this area, because I wanted to continue. I'd been admitted to the PhD program, and I wanted to continue, obviously, living in the area, hopefully, so that I could do my PhD work at Vanderbilt. And I would get many people, as Harold has implied, obviously don't respond. I think it's always courteous if they would have, but they didn't. But I got quite a few back, and I came home from Vandy campus one day, and David, my oldest son, had all of these envelopes stacked up, you know, and had a little sign on there, Daddy's No Can Teach letters, and they were all, you know, turning me down. And I thought, what a great way to make his father feel well. But then I heard from Dr. Parks, whom I mentioned a moment ago, who's the department chair here, and made an appointment to come out, and Betty came with me, and And Dr. Cope was the president then, and he was out of the country with a... Harold knows him well, and many people that possibly hear this will, but we had a professor in education that started the aerospace program here, and that's Beeler Smotherman. And Beeler was a private pilot himself, but he had a program that was funded, and I don't know the source of the funding, but high school teachers could apply for it and be supported and get credits. And the whole idea was to try to get them interested in incorporating aerospace kind of things in their high school curricula. And he would make trips. Sometimes they were domestic to military, Air Force military installations and large airports. This one happened to be a trip to Europe. And Cope had gone with Beeler and the teachers on that. So I talked with Dr. Parks and then met Clay Tucker, who was the Dean of Liberal Arts, or it was Arts and Sciences, I guess, then. And may become that again, I was reading in the paper. And both of those were favorable, and I went down and met Howard Kirksey, who was the academic head guy, then called Dean, and now what, Provost and Academic Vice President. But so he's the one that actually hired me, and we moved, and I started teaching in the fall of 1967 and taught until 1993, finished my degree, and was faculty senate president in 1978.